What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
I didn't march 1 yard, 1 foot for the same sex to get married, and they're taking wrong and making it right, and taking right, making it wrong.
Those of us who are inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we're not seeking to sit in judgment of anyone. But we know that there are fundamental truths proven through thousands of years of human history.
I've referred to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut him apart and use him however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love issues, etc.
I think you've seen them. You may not have actually seen the lines. Sometimes the lines are imaginary, but around the entrance of abortion clinics, wherever they exist, especially in the larger cities in the United States, there has existed a zone, a no man's land, a buffer zone, it is called, usually about 35 feet from the entrances of abortion clinics. Now, why did these buffer zones exist? Other places of business, other places where, at least ostensibly, medical work is being done, do not enjoy a buffer zone. They don't enjoy a place where they can say you cannot say anything or protest or gather or list grievances 35 feet from within our door. Why did they exist? Why did they exist until very recently? For abortion clinics. Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled against abortion clinic buffer zones. Why did they do it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 27th of June. Wendy Wright, Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest for the first few minutes to talk about the Supreme Court knocking down, eliminating those buffer zones around abortion clinics. A little bit later, Christ in the Old Testament, our series continues in Jeremiah 28, Hananiah the False Prophet, Finding Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer a little bit later in this hour. You can join us for the whole hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Wendy Wright is Vice President of Government Relations for CFAM. It's the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C., and a regular guest. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. So glad to be on.
Why did these so-called buffer zones around abortion clinics exist in the first place?
Well, according to Justice Scalia and his decision yesterday, he said that the purpose was to give abortion rights advocates the ability to suppress the free speech rights of their opponents. And that really is what it was about. Pro-lifers can be quite effective as they're talking with women in that last moment before she walks into that abortion clinic and to offer her alternatives. And the abortion clinics simply don't want the competition. They don't want someone offering women an alternative. And so these buffer zones began actually with a case that I was involved in Melbourne, Florida, way back in the early 1990s. And at that time, the court handed down a restraining order. It only applied to certain people. That case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the court had kind of a split decision on it. But it gave the green light to having what became known as buffer zones. And then states began to pass laws. The most recent is this one in Massachusetts, the 35-foot buffer zone around the abortion clinics that were really keeping away people, quiet grandmothers, from talking with the women before they went into the clinic. And pro-lifers offer alternatives to women in that last-ditch moment before they go into destroy their unborn child. And I think Justice Roberts, in his majority decision yesterday, described what is happening quite well. He said that these grandmothers are providing a personal, caring, consensual conversation with women about various alternatives. And frankly, abortion clinics just simply don't want women being offered alternatives. They don't want the competition.
All right. So did the Supreme Court, and this was a unanimous decision, those things are somewhat rare. Does this tell you something about at least the court's current mindset when it comes to free speech vis-a-vis abortion?
Yeah, that's very encouraging that we have even the most liberal justices agreeing. And they weren't alone. Even Lawrence Tribe, a Harvard lawyer who describes himself as an ardent supporter of abortion, he agreed with the court's ruling. And this does it offers some encouragement that pro-lifers have the same First Amendment rights as anyone else. And many of us are watching for the final decision that will come down from the court, most likely on Monday, regarding conscience rights. And this provides us a glimmer of hope that the court will extend constitutional rights to pro-lifers just like they apply to everybody else.
Now, I'm not a Supreme Court justice, and I'm not an attorney or by any stretch of the imagination a legal expert. But to me, from the layperson's perspective, the simple fact that these zones would exist around abortion clinics and not around other places of business or other kind of medical clinics, to me, tells me something is wrong with the buffer zone in the first place.
You're right. And then it's what in the legal system they call content. The buffer zone was not content neutral, meaning you can't have a restriction that only applies to people based on their beliefs because of the content of their beliefs. Now, sadly, the majority in this decision said that the buffer zone was content neutral. They just think that the state of Massachusetts went too far in how they were applying it. Four of the other justices said this is clearly content-based. It only applied to pro-lifers. And in fact, clinic employees or the escorts, those are the pro-abortion protesters who are outside the abortion clinics, they were allowed to talk with the women and offer literature and hustle them past the pro-lifers. But if you were pro-life, you couldn't talk with the women. So, it does come down to this issue of whether speech is whether a law or a restriction is based on the content of the speech. Right now, the majority on the court is willing to ignore the fact that a buffer zone that only applies to pro-life speech is somehow not unconstitutional.
So, at this point, does this mean that? Well, a couple questions here. The first one is, does it also tell us how effective pro-lifers can be outside abortion clinics? That is, if they have sought and gotten and then now had removed these buffer zones, and they fought all the way to the Supreme Court to retain these buffer zones, to me that says having pro-lifers outside abortion clinics is bad for their business.
Exactly right. They simply don't want women being offered alternatives. And I think it also shows that they want pro-life speech to be viewed as like taboo, that if you are pro-life, that somehow you should be stigmatized and that you shouldn't be a part of polite society, that you should be restricted from certain parts of certain streets in our cities. And they're losing that battle, as we're seeing. Many young people are now pro-life, and it's because they know the truth about abortion. And so it seems that these abortion advocates, and sadly many of them are in government, are in favor of restricting speech and restricting views simply because our views can be effective in helping women to choose life over abortion.
Does it also at least provide something of a roadmap in the future when it comes to other decisions that may come before the Supreme Court, perhaps a tactical advantage to speak quite plainly here for the pro-life community to say, look, this is an area that is effective for us when it comes to the Supreme Court, free speech. Let's try and frame the conversation for the courts in terms of free speech.
Yes. And in fact, what the court did say is that there are other things that the government could have done if they were, if the true concern of the government was intimidation, harassment, violence. There are less restrictive measures the government could take to address those, to address that problem. And so that does provide kind of a roadmap for future cases. And I think it's, to me, really quite hopeful when it comes to the conscience, the contraception conscience mandate that the court will be ruling on very soon, that it's really clear that there are least restrictive measures that the government could take to ensure that women have the right to get insurance to pay for abortion or birth control. And requiring every single person, regardless of their religious beliefs, to pay for another person's drugs and devices is that can end a human being's life is not a least restrictive means that the government could use. So, yes, this does provide a bit of a blueprint for a way forward that as long as, you know, we can show that there are other measures the government can take to reach the ends they claim they want to reach, then we could even win over some of the liberal Supreme Court justices.
Does it give you hope for those conscience clause cases that may come before the Supreme Court?
You know, I think after the ruling on Obamacare, and it was the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who is the one who wrote that decision, it would be foolhardy for anyone to predict exactly what this court's going to do. That was a tremendous disappointment for many of us when Justice Roberts upheld Obamacare. But having said that, this does provide a glimmer of hope that some reason will prevail.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to CFAM under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is going to join us. We continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter 28, and we'll be talking not only about Jeremiah, but about a false prophet, Hananiah. Stay tuned.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.